Okay. Just as usual, just to give a short introduction on some of the basic aspects of meditation practice, and then we'll do some meditation afterwards. So, as I always say, good to start to focus with the body every single meditation you do. The reason for that is because if you want mindfulness to arise, if you want to be able to be present here and now, you have to be comfortable, you have to be at ease, you have to have a sense of well-being, because the mind only likes to be in the present if it feels good in the present moment. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? So to make the mind feel at ease, it is important, first of all, for the body to feel at ease. So you focus on the body, and then when everything feels very nice and easy physically, the mind tends to relax, and mindfulness tends to get established almost as a matter of course, if you are ready for that mindfulness. Sometimes you're not even ready, it doesn't happen, but that anyway is the best way of doing it, so that there's a chance for mindfulness to actually get established. Once you have established that mindfulness through just finding the ease, finding a sense of well-being inside of yourself. The other thing to do is always about the attitude to your meditation practice. It's the attitude that decides very often whether your meditation is going to be successful or not. And one of the attitudes that I like to sometimes use is this idea that when I sit down to meditate, I think that this is the destination. This is the purpose of all the other things I do in my life. The purpose is I can sit down and be peaceful here and now. When I do some work, in the monastery or somewhere else, the purpose of that work is to build up some good karma and some good feeling good about myself because I've done something positive to contribute to the monastery or contribute to the world around me. So the purpose of that is always to eventually to get myself to the meditation cushion. The purpose of eating is just to sustain the body. Okay, you might enjoy the food a bit as well, but the main purpose is to sustain the body so you can meditate afterwards. If I study the suttas or read some Buddhist literature, the purpose again is to gain inspiration and understanding for my meditation practice. Everything I do in life is geared towards the destination, which is to sit down and meditate. So when you meditate, when you're doing your meditation, you are in a sense arrived at your destination, and because you have arrived at your destination, there's no point in thinking about all the stuff which helps you to get to that point, right? So why sit down? Why should I think about the work? The work is just an aid for meditation. Why should I think about the food and all those other things? They're all just aids for meditation. So because they are aids, at that point I have arrived at the destination, I throw all that stuff away because now I'm where I want to be. This is a nice little contemplation. I find it works quite well because it sort of shows you that all of these other things are actually irrelevant once you come to your meditation cushion, because now you are where you are supposed to be, where you want to be. And another little thing which I sometimes do, and comes out of what I was talking about in the talk yesterday about the idea of non-self. And one of the aspects of non-self is the sense that we can't really control things, right? There's one of the inherent qualities of having a sense of I is a sense that we are in charge, we can control, we can do things in the world. This is one of the feelings that you get with the sense of I inside, that we are in charge. But actually, when you look at the world, you look at the way things work, we are only a tiny little condition. We are only a small little thing that decides on how the world around us functions. The vast majority of the things that work on the world, work on the people around us, work on even the things that we think we own, that work on all these things, we have no control over those things. So the sense of being in control, of being in charge, of being able to get things our way is completely wrong, basically. And if you think about that, then you realize that thinking about the future is derived from this delusion of control. If you have a sense of understanding of this anatta business, that we're not really in charge, then all this thinking about the future becomes irrelevant, becomes stupid, becomes silly. It doesn't have any point to it. So you throw that out as well. And then when you throw that out, and you actually understand deep down how irrelevant it is and how it doesn't work, then, of course, this is one of the ways and one of the means for acquiring some more peace in your meditation practice. So try that, see if that works for you. Again, all of these things, the final good act will come up before we start the meditation. That's very wise. Thank you so much. Okay, from the time. Okay, that's wonderful. So try those things. Try to remind yourself that now you have arrived at the destination. There's nothing really to think about right now. You arrived at the purpose for which all the other things you do in life are for this purpose of sitting down, becoming peaceful. And also remember that there is very little control of the things in the world. And because there is no control, because the uncertainty is so massive, there's no point in thinking about the future. Okay, so let's try to do some meditation together. Okay, so just start off by relaxing, by being comfortable. Remember what I said just a minute ago about being comfortable, being at ease in the body is so important, because mindfulness will only arise when the mind is at ease here and now, when the mind finds itself of ease in the present. Otherwise, if you have pain, if you have discomfort, the mind will run away because it doesn't want to be here, because it's painful to be here. So find that ease, first of all. So just keep on feeling your body for quite a while to make sure that it is really nice and relaxed. Keep on doing this for quite a while and see how you can deepen that sense of relaxation, that sense of well-being, going through all the parts of the body. And if there is any part which is ill at ease or not really relaxed, then make sure you have a positive attitude and wish yourself well, wish your body well, and allow it to relax in that way. And by focusing on the body in this way, you're also developing the kindness towards yourself. And that kindness towards yourself is one of those things that is going to allow the meditation to become deeper later on. So all of these things are pointing you in the right direction. The kindness, the ease, and the relaxation. And as you do this, you will find normally the mindfulness starts to arise all by itself. And to deepen your present moment awareness, just try to remind yourself that all those other things in life, their purpose is to arrive where you are now. You are now at the destination. There's no point in thinking of those things that are pointing towards the destination. Those other things are secondary. Those are not where your mind should be. Your mind is now where you want to be, at the destination, right here, right now. And try to use that thought to put away the future and the past, put away all those other things that are far less relevant than what you're doing right now. And as your mind gets established gradually in the present moment, just notice how nice it is, how beautiful it is, just to be aware, just to be here right now, without any kind of craving or desire or doing inside of you. All you have is the awareness and the consciousness of the present moment. That's all that is there. And just watch the beauty of just that much. we are now coming to the very end of this meditation. So at the very end, just ask yourself, is there an improvement in your state of mind? And if there is an improvement, ask yourself about the causes and conditions that have led to that improvement. And if there is no improvement, or if there is a decline or whatever, then again, ask yourself why that is. And in this way, you come to take charge of your own meditation practice. Okay, so any comments or questions or anything like that? Anybody want to say anything? Nobody wants to say anything? Christina, you got some questions from outside of the center? Okay, thanks. Before I go on to these other ones, anybody have anything they want to say, comments? Yes, sir.
just about the, I guess, sort of a dilemma almost between developing sensitivity more as I'm dropping into the meditation and noticing the greater level of disturbance. Like it's almost that sort of paradox that I feel like I'm going backwards sometimes the more I'm going in.
What kind of disturbance do you mean?
Just noticing the busyness of the mind, of thinking in particular.
Thinking, okay. Because they're becoming peaceful, they're becoming more aware, basically.
So just how to... Any advice on how to handle that?
It's just that you're becoming aware of what's happening, you're becoming aware of reality. That's the problem. So it's not a problem, actually. It's actually not going backwards at all. It's actually going forwards. It's just that you are starting to see what has been there all the time, which you couldn't see before. That's really, really all it is. So it's good. Just keep doing that. And this is just one kind of step on the way. And it's almost like you have to go through to see. You have to see things the way they are before you can let go of those things. You have to know things first before you can actually go beyond them, right? This is what is happening here. You're getting to know yourself, getting to know your mind, and then you can go beyond that afterwards. So you're doing the right thing. So just don't worry about it. Just be aware of it. If you start to get worried about those things, then you start to involve yourself again, and you start to try to control it, try to make it one way or another way. And if you do that, it make it worse. So just accept it. It's okay. This is what you are. It's fine. Everybody's like that to some extent, right? We're all the same in the same boat. So you're doing well. Okay. Anybody else? Want to say anything? Everybody else? Okay? Yeah. Okay. So let's see what these questions from overseas, what people have to say. This is question number one. It's from Nick in the US. And he says that some people who believe that the mind is just a product of the brain say that meditation experiences are nothing but how the mind feels when it's getting less oxygen, which also causes gradual shutdown of the brain, which is perceived as shutdown of the senses and the will, etc. Pilots under high G forces and people under near-death experiences go through the same stages. Could you please comment? Okay, well, you know, this is because of the kind of materialist kind of paradigm, if you like, or the materialist worldview that many people have in our day and age. So they want to explain everything in terms of the brain, right? The brain is kind of paramount. Material reality comes first, and the mental reality is a function of material reality. But I think that a lot of philosophers and a lot of people these days realize there's something very wrong with that way of looking at the world. The world doesn't seem to work like that. There's a lot of things which are seem to counter this thing. So, and of course, one of the things that you see in meditation practice, yes, you say the senses shut down. That means that there's a lack of oxygen or whatever to the brain. But the reality is that you become more aware when meditation deepens. You become more, you get more clarity. You have greater awareness of what's happening here, right? So the senses shutting down is actually a function of greater awareness. The thing that you focus on is actually you have more clarity about that. So it doesn't really, you know, it's not a sense of things becoming more dull or becoming kind of fading away because you're losing awareness. It's the opposite, because you're focusing your awareness and you're becoming more aware. That enables you to leave the senses behind. So it's almost like the opposite. It sounds to me like it is the opposite thing which is happening here than what these people are actually describing here. So I think that we are, you know, in the world of kind of mind and mind studies and consciousness and these kind of things, I think that we are almost like at a crossroads where things are going to change dramatically over the next few decades, because they have to, because modern science is not able to explain the mind, because the mind just doesn't make any sense from a material point of view. There was an interesting comment by someone I respect quite a lot, and he said that actually the problem is not so much that as a Buddhist you're taking on board a certain worldview, a certain metaphysic, if you like, a certain speculative position. The problem is that it's actually science. If a scientist, or not a scientist, maybe say a philosopher or a secularist or whatever, if they say that the mind is a byproduct of physical properties, that is a metaphysical position. That is a speculative position, because there's absolutely no way that you can show that the mind can be a byproduct of material phenomena. There's no connection there whatsoever. It's a pure speculative position, and there's no evidence whatsoever for that. I hope that helps. That gives you a few hints about how I feel about that matter. Question number two, this is Yuma from the USA. I generally have a strong sense of love and gratitude towards others, but I sometimes have an aversion towards metta meditation, having been burned many times. What are some of the methods I can use to arouse compassion? Okay, so maybe what you mean by burned is that you feel that you have had metta and then other people haven't reciprocated and haven't really shown any goodwill back. Is that what you mean by burned, perhaps? Not sure exactly what you mean by that, but I assume that that might be the case. So remember that when you have metta for others, you don't have to go out and hug the whole world right afterwards. You don't have to kind of be super kind or super nice. You don't have to prove your metta to anyone. Your metta is something inside of yourself. And you know how to value and how to protect that metta inside of yourself by not kind of being too, going too much out there in the world and trying to kind of put it into action straight away. It's not about putting it, it comes by itself, the action happens by itself. If you have metta, you will be kinder, you will be more gentle. You don't actually have to try to do these things. And in this way, you will, by keeping it more to yourself, by internalizing it more and protecting it more, you will not be burning yourself so much when you go out into the world. So remember that the idea of metta, one of the problems here, is that sometimes people do metta, but it's a metta which comes from attachment. It's not a metta which is kind of separated from the object. So be careful. Well, often when you do metta practice, it's good to do it towards neutral people, people you don't know. If you do it to somebody you know, you can increase the attachment. And because it increases the attachment, then you afterwards you will act upon it in such a way that you might burn yourself. But if it's to a neutral person, and this is one of the things in the suttas, the way the Buddha describes metta meditation, he says you do it to a certain direction, to the northern direction. In the north, there's just all these faceless people. There's not nobody with names there. Just people you don't know, right? And it's towards these people you don't know, these faceless people. You do metta to them. And you remember that out there in the world, there are lots of people with beautiful, wonderful qualities. And the way you know those qualities is by looking inside of yourself and reminding yourself of the most, when you have these qualities coming up in yourself, you know that those qualities are also existing in other people. And you remember that, and you look towards another direction, and you know that those qualities are out there, and then you wish all those being out there, you wish them well. And so in this way, you reduce the problem of attachment, and it becomes a more pure form of metta, and then the chances are you will burn yourself less afterwards because of that. So try some of those things and see if that works. And if it doesn't work, then you can come back again next week and maybe rephrase a question in a different way here. Question number three is from Ellen from the US. I have been avoiding and afraid to meditate since I become depressed the death of a loved one. I have a lot of guilt, wish that I could have done more. I know that it comes from the sense of I, but when I close my eyes, all I can feel is guilt. Okay. I think often, this is a problem here, is that very often we feel that we should have been more active in the world, we should have done something to stop somebody else from dying or whatever. If we had been there at the right time and said the right thing and so on and so forth, maybe that could have been avoided. And then we feel guilty afterwards because we didn't do those things. And I had actually a close friend of mine who had a son who committed suicide recently, and he was also, it's very hard for a parent when you have a child that commits suicide. So what you have to remember is that when people die for whatever reason, very often these are things way, way outside of our control. There are so many factors, so many things that influence that person and that pushes them in a certain direction, and it's, you know, what we can do is so tiny compared to all the other impacts on that person's life. So remember that it's not the chances that we could have done something different is minute. It's chances are very, very likely that you could have done nothing at all to change that person. So once you understand that these forces are much, much larger than you, much, much larger than any individual person, then you start to realize that it has nothing to do with you. And you have to let go and understand that what has happened is just something that happened according to natural circumstances and conditions. And then once you can see it that way, you can forgive yourself and realize it wasn't really you. And this comes back to what I was talking about in my talk yesterday. The sense of I, the problem with the sense of I, is that with the sense of I comes the feeling that you have power. You have an ability to do things in the world, right? The sense of having this will and ability to do things in the world comes with a sense of I. But that is to a very large extent, is just a delusion. Our ability to do things in the world is very, very limited. Of course, we can do a few things, but actually, it is very little that we can do. Most of it is just delusion and illusion, and we can only do a tiny, tiny fraction. So understand that the chances that you would have been able to make a difference is almost non-existent. So forgive yourself, let go, it's got nothing to do with you. Somebody dies, it's nature taking its course, it's not your fault. And instead of dwelling on that, if they have died, well, remember, if I don't know how much of a Buddhist you are, but of course the Buddhist idea is that they are still going to be around somewhere, this person, right? They're still going to be, they've gone to a new place somewhere. So if they're still around, then wish them well where they are now. Say to them, may you be well and happy in a new destination. If you feel that perhaps you could have done something different, ask them even for forgiveness. Say to them, please forgive me wherever you are, whatever shortcomings that I may have had in a previous life. And I too grant you forgiveness for anything. So do something active like that and wish them well. And also understand that there's probably very little you could have done about these things. And in this way, you can gradually move away from the feeling of guilt. And then when you can forgive yourself fully, then you can also let go completely. And then you will be free of that past problem. Okay, so I hope that helps. Anything else anybody wants to say? Everybody okay? Okay, so let's pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.